This is your friend John Walden. Welcome to our Bible study. We're beginning a new book. Just now, 2 Corinthians, the second letter of Paul, the Apostle, to the Corinthians. Now, there's some things that we must understand if we're to really get the good from this book. The first thing is that all of the second epistles, and this is true, of course, of the third epistle of John, second epistles are always written to correct some kind of error. And for this reason, they're especially good for our day. We're living in a day where there's a great deal of doctrinal error, and there's a great deal of error in behavior. Christians are not living up to their right position in Christ. They're not enjoying the things of God, many of them, and their lives show it. So let's have open hearts and minds as we study this and allow the Spirit of God to do the correcting that we need as well. Now, you must understand something of 1 Corinthians if you're going to appreciate this second letter to them. It was written to a seaport city. It was a city that was grossly immoral. If you wanted to insult anyone in the first century, you simply called him a Corinthian. Most of them were Gentiles, although a few Jews had come to know the Lord at the beginning of Paul's teaching there. The main theme of the first epistle, as we saw in our studies, was church order, answering questions that people had, and especially setting before the people of God his ways for the local church. You can't help but noticing the great difference between the first century church and present organizationalism. Another thing we need to remember is that these writings were not Paul's. They were not his ideas. He didn't think this through or think it out. The Holy Spirit inspired him, as in the case of all Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16 says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And I believe, and I think it's essential that we understand this, I believe that the Scriptures are complete and sufficient for the 20th century, just as in the first century. If God did not provide us with all that we need for this century, then he was remiss. He simply did not give us all that we need, and we would have to make up the best we could. And this is unthinkable. Some people refer to what is taught in Corinthians as the lost Corinthian order. But it hasn't been lost. There are people of God who are still working at it, still following the pattern, the plan that is set down here, and it still proves to be workable. Now, the second epistle, written to these same people, is to vindicate Paul's apostleship. He was being criticized by certain men who said that he was really not an apostle. Now, he is led by the Spirit of God to vindicate his apostleship. And the reason for this is that we might know the validity of the truths that he taught. You see, if a man is not sent from God, then his message is not of God. And unless we believe the Scriptures fully, of course, we're going to lose a great deal, and this is true of any portion of the Word of God, any verse. If there's any question in your mind about any of the Word of God, you're going to lose the blessing that is in it. There are two other epistles beside this second one in which Paul proves his apostleship. One of them is the first epistle to the Corinthians, about which we've just been speaking, and where the subject is church truth. The other is the Galatian epistle, where the truth taught, emphasized in particular, is the gospel. And so these are given to show that the Apostle Paul is truly a God-sent man, and that the message he brings is really the Word of God. Now, this is important to each of us, whether you're saved or lost. If the Word of God is not true, then you haven't anything to believe. You can't simply believe in your feelings. You can't believe in what some church teaches. You have to have a criterion. You have to have authority. And the Word of God gives us that authority. Never question it. Now, the second epistle begins like this. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. Now, that's not a brand name, and no one should take that to the exclusion of other local churches. But the Christians in that particular city made up what is called the church of God. With all the saints which are in all Achaia. Now, this is a little more limited than the first epistle, for there he included all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this epistle, he is showing us some of the things that he felt very deeply. And if I were going to outline it, I would say you could divide it into either three parts or possibly four parts. It's not an easy book to outline. If you think of three sections of the book, you would have chapters 1 to 7 presenting what it means to serve the Lord in the gospel and how it is done. True gospel service. Then chapters 8 and 9 would have to do with Christian liberality, what it means to give as unto the Lord. And then the closing chapters, 10 to 13, establishing, especially in the minds of those who did not believe Paul, the true apostleship of this man. I like better to divide it into four parts. The first two chapters would be historical, and chapters 7 through 9 would be historical as well. The first section tells us about Paul's grief. The second section tells us about his rejoicing. So you have chapters 1 and 2, the history of Paul's feeling, his grief over their misbehavior and their rejection of the word. Then in chapters 3 to 6, the second part of this book would be the service of the true servant. And there he shows what a true servant of God should be like. And after the second historical part, 7 to 9, you have the closing section, 10 to 13, some examples of a true servant of Christ. Here he shows us how we can serve the Lord as believers. Now, you can't serve the Lord in order to become a Christian. You are not saved by doing. You are saved by believing. And when you try to mix works in it, you have violated many, many scriptures in the New Testament. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. When you get to heaven, your song will be entirely about the grace of God and giving thanks and glory to the Lord Jesus himself. So don't think of trying to serve the Lord if you have not, first of all, accepted him as your Lord and Savior. The word service or ministering occurs 18 times in this second epistle to the Corinthians. So this, of course, very plainly puts the emphasis on how we should serve the Lord. Now, as to the theme of this epistle, Mr. William Kelly, a writer of the last century, refers to the theme as that of restorative grace, the grace of God in restoring Christians who have gotten away. Love is never complacent about people getting away from God, and getting away, I mean, in heart and life. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about losing the joy. Paul prayed in the 51st Psalm, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Some people say love is blind, but let me tell you that God's kind of love is not blind, that the Lord is not blind to our faults, God is not blind to our need, and no true servant of Christ should be blind to the needs of the people of God. And when we see each other getting away from the Lord, we ought to do something about it and help that person by spiritually washing their feet, leading them to the Scriptures so that they might have these things set right. Someone has called 2 Corinthians true service for true believers. Let me ask you now, are you truly a believer? That is, have you acknowledged yourself a sinner and taken the Lord Jesus as your own Savior? And are you depending completely upon Him? In a fairly new book on Corinthians written by an Englishman named Dr. John Heading, he stresses that there are two things we ought to be concerned about here in this epistle. One is comfort, and the other is warning. Most of us want the comfort, but we don't want the warning. Well, let's take both. Let's accept whatever the Lord says. One more thing. We will notice that the Lord Jesus Christ is mentioned in every chapter except the seventh chapter, and that He uses His full title. He is not simply Jesus, or Jesus the Christ, but He is our Lord. So 2 Corinthians, then, gives us the book of comfort in the New Testament, as Isaiah does in the Old. Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word, and we ask Thee to bless it to all who have heard it just now for the honor of Thy Son. Amen.